But yeah, how long have you guys been working together?
4 years now, nearly. Four years next month.
Almost exactly 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys doing anything special for the anniversary, or?
Maybe.
Oh, you do.
Not our anniversary, but the 5 year anniversary. We have something special coming.
Oh, so not even like the stuff that you showed me today.
Yeah, we have some things coming in.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's asked that yet. To be fair, but
yeah,
there you go. Exclusive.
It is actually weird to think that we're coming up on 5 years of Phasmophobia.
Yes.
Because I feel like in my brain, the time has not moved that fast. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of things have changed for you, and obviously you're the creator. So what is the most significant change that you've gone through with making Phasmophobia?
I guess just for me personally, like I started as a solo developer, and now we're up to 27 people, which is quite crazy. Like we've got the film coming out, and we got, you know, stuff like this going on. There's just so much happening, and it's just all like kind of crazy, but I love all of it.
Have you seen all the memes that have come out about people, like all the TikToks where people pretend to be Phasmophobia, and people are like breaking their backs and everything? You're keeping that, right? Like, you're gonna keep the weird, like,
no, unfortunately, it's going.
No, but it was iconic.
Yeah.
When we do get rid of it, we're thinking of potentially memorializing that somehow. So there's still...
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, we might have something, but our main goal is to make the game as immersive as possible. We think the comedy aspects of the game should come from the social side of it and playing with your friends rather than
the game itself.
The actual game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my friends can't twerk to keep the ghost away anymore, so that's okay. What sparked Phasmophobia? Because I feel like we were talking about this off camera, but you are kind of this pioneer of a new genre, and it's just like you were just one person making this.
Yeah, I didn't really set out to make a ghost hunting game. I just wanted to make a... when I first started developing it, it was just a VR-only game. So my main goal was to make a VR co-op horror puzzle game, because it just didn't exist. And I was just constantly searching those different game stores and search through Steam and stuff, and basically just never came out. So I was just like, okay, I'll just make it myself. At that time it was VR only, and then obviously it's very hard to make a 4-player co-op VR game on your own. So I had to then port it to PC, because then I could actually test the multiplayer side of it, and there was a lot more access to my friends, because they didn't have VR, so I could then actually do the QA and testing side of it. The main goal was just to make a social co-op horror puzzle game, and then ghost hunting was just the perfect fit for that.
That's great. I did not know this was VR first.
Yeah.
So I always thought VR came after. So I guess that's why it plays so well on Steam, when I had my friend play on, I think it was his MetaQuest, and it worked really well. So that's interesting. Are we going to get more puzzle stuff in future updates?
I mean, with our Chronicle update, we've kind of added quite a few layers, right? We've said that we're adding the sound recordings and the video recordings. Mm-hmm. It's kind of adding a lot of extra depth and a lot of layers to the investigation side of things, and really makes it feel like you're actually having a ghost investigation, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just taking 10 soul photos or something. So they've definitely added layers over time, and we've definitely got ideas for future things as well.
Yeah, and there might be some maybe non-gameplay related stuff. So, for example, when we did Point Hope, we did an Easter egg puzzle.
Yes.
So there's some things potentially like that in the future, but we're definitely going to be adding more things like that.
Yeah. When that guy made the video for that, when he discovered it for the first time, he got so excited, and just something just blew up on this random part of the internet. And it was great to watch it happen in real time, because it had been out for a month and no one knew about it, and then all of a sudden it was oh my god, there's this thing, and then there's oh my god, this thing. It was really cool. Very cool.
What's been your favorite thing of seeing the community kind of discover new things about the game, even 5 years after?
Well, there was a few things. What was it, a while ago? I think that we hired some stuff. Oh yeah, we hid the photos in the, you know, the truck. We hid photos of the new maps we were developing on the notice board, and they were there for a while. I think it was Maple Lodge before that came out, and no one noticed.
Yeah, ages. we hired.
They were like, "Oh look, is that campfire? Was that there before? Yeah. I don't know, was that there?" And then we released Maple, and then
we love to hide little secret things every now and then.
Yeah.
there's still one secret in there somewhere.
Yeah, even now, we're constantly getting asked like questions about the ghost types. Like, things still haven't been like fully figured out.
Yeah.
But you know, we got such a large and like dedicated community that eventually everything does just get solved. So we are having to add new things in there, and yeah, we do kind of try and change some things in updates. So a couple of ghost changes we got in Chronicle update, but you know, for the most part, I think we've got such a large dedicated community that it's pretty difficult to keep things a secret for all.
Yeah.
So you said there was one Easter egg that people have not found yet.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely one.
Oh, okay. The way you said it is like, it's something.
As I was saying, I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. That's fine.
No, but that's good, because now they're going to go in and like look for it. I
that's
do
part
love
of what
it.
The game is, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like finding stuff, figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
Going through, yeah.
In making this game, have you learned anything new about horror fans? Kind of like how you said, oh, our community is so dedicated, they will find whatever.
Yes.
And I think that horror fans are the most, like, they're so detail-oriented. So is there anything new that you discovered about people who enjoy Phasmophobia or other scary games?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
The biggest thing for Phasmophobia is, like, it's not just a horror game. So it's like a puzzle game first and a horror game second. So the game is kind of designed for as many people as possible. So we got the truck so people can just stay in the truck. They don't actually have to experience the horror.
Yeah.
We've got new gameplay mechanics coming out for that in Chronicle. I think it's like a very different like range of horror fans. So we try and just build the game for everybody.
Yeah, I think some of the conversations we've been having like here at this event is like people enjoy experiencing the horror third person. So like they'll watch their favorite streamer, their favorite YouTuber, and they they'll have watched hundreds of hours of Phasmophobia content, but not played it themselves because they're too scared to kind of do it themselves and be in control of the scares. And again, like that's just like another type of person that enjoys the content in a different way.
I think there's a huge amount of horror fans who just like watching people get scared and not actually doing it themselves, which is hopefully we'll get those kind of players into the Chronicle updates and they can just watch their friends from the truck and participate at the same time.
Yeah. If that's you, then the truck is for you.
I wonder, do you think you would ever add in like a spectator mode?
I guess that's kind of what happens after you're dead. But.
I mean, like, say your friends, like, they're just like, oh, I don't know about this game. I'll watch you play it, though. I think Steam has some sort of mechanic where you can do that, but do you think that would be something that you would add in?
We don't think so. I think it's... we don't want people just, like, seeing everything without having any kind of risk. So we do it when you're dead. Like you can still like throw things around.
Oh my god,
stuff.
That's right.
Like,
and
you can be revived as well.
Spectator mode where like you have 100 people watching the game before people play. Like,
sure.
Probably
yeah.
Won't.
I guess there are live streams for that, so that's okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do love that. Actually. So how with people being able to pick up items when they're dead. Would you ever consider something else where like maybe they could write or like interact with like what is it like mirrors, like fog it up, like mess up with someone's investigation maybe?
Yeah, I mean, we get requested things like that all the time, especially the biggest one is the spirit box. We get people ask for like, can you hear your dead friends through the spirit box and things like that. Probably not going to be doing stuff like that.
I think that the main thing with that is we don't want to confuse, especially when it's related to evidence items, we don't want people to be like, oh, there's a writing, now it's a ghost writing book, and then they go, oh, sweet, it must be this type of ghost, and then they're wrong because their friends messed
up. Maybe I'm just toxic. I just...
The monkey paw is for
if
you.
If I die, you can't survive either, you know?
Yeah, first items, you can be a little bit like that.
Okay.
Yeah, even though we do try to kind of restrict people like that, but we still get people like write things out with all the objects in the game, collect all the shoes or something and just write out. Right, I'll banter you.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I always just pick like a teddy bear or something cute, and I'm just like, that way they know it's me.
Yes.
So I just like toss it. They're like, oh, are you ready to go? Yes.
Give me a sign if you're ready.
I know.
Play. Okay, yes.
It's like, oh, I hope I'm listening, because otherwise they're like, oh, we're just going to wait here.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
It is so interesting. I mean, there's so many elements to this game, and I don't know how you keep adding more to keep it balanced. Mm. So how do you do that? How do you add more while also keeping it in balance so that one item isn't more powerful than the other and that every item is still viable?
There's so many layers to that, right? So with our, it's kind of like something that I've spoken about quite a bit is the game, there's no linear set scripted things that happen. Everything is dynamic. Everything is based on what's around you, what's around the ghosts, what you can hear, what you can see, what's interactable. And that just creates an infinite amount of replayability, an infinite amount of things that you haven't seen before. You could spend 100 hours and not know something and then see it for the first time. And I think just the stuff that we have our side, like we can set up new interactions and unique things quite easily and simply. But the more of those little things that you have, it just makes the whole thing feel so good and so fresh. And every room inside every map feels unique and special.
Okay, do you still find things when you play the game? Because you've played for so many years. Do you still find things that surprise you personally?
When new maps come out, because we've, like, originally we had to code quite a lot when the maps came out. But now we've made quite a lot of stuff our side, so the artists can basically just kind of handle it themselves.
Okay.
So when, I think it was when Bleasdale came out, for example, for me personally, I didn't know the spider was a thing. So I played it and I was like, is that a spider? And I walked up to it and it like ran up. I was like, ah! I didn't, like, that scared the hell out of me. But yeah, because they've got like a lot of creative freedom now, it kind of opens up sort of shock factors for us. So it's quite nice to still get that. Even though we work at the company.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Okay, so the last question. What is your favorite horror movie?
Mine is actually a children's horror film, which is Coraline.
You know what? That is absolutely fair. Yeah. That is so valid. No, that's a really scary one, yeah.
For like more of an adult horror film, though, probably The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Surely, because it's very similar to Phasmophobia, and it's like got the whole investigation side of it as well, and that's, I think that's probably why I enjoy it so much.
Pretty solid titles, yeah.
I think for me, I think mainly because it was my gateway film into the horror space was probably Amityville Horror. Yeah.
Oh, that one messes that one messed me up.
Because it's just the one that like I'd never experienced horror properly from a film before, and I watched that, and I was like, I instantly had this emotional connection with like that was my gateway. That's now why I'm in a horror space. That's why I now work in a horror game. So for me, even though it might not be like the scariest or like the most like creative, like it still had a big impact on me. So
yeah, it's still your, the one that you resonated with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very different answers. This is great, though. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with
me. Of course.
Me.
Thank you so much for coming by. Yeah. It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.